Joining us now in the studio for the first time in forever is Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library. Welcome back.
Hey, stranger.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I'm
How
doing well.
How long has it been? It's been like a month. Yeah?
Like a month.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
Stuff and life and kids and summer.
Okay, you don't have to tell us.
Well, I will share one thing. There's that gap between when like camps end for the summer and school starts. There's like 2 weeks there. And my husband just got a new job, and so he was scrambling to get his new schedule going, and we were just freaking out for 2 weeks. And I read this great article. So there were a couple days when my kids perhaps came to the library, and I just said, here's a stack of Mad magazines and comic books. Now go to the kids' room and read.
Yes.
Which if you're 9 and above, you can be in the library on your own without a parent. So,
yes.
But anyways, I was reading an article, I think it was in the Washington Post, and a reporter was also writing about that same time period. But she like took her kids to the mean streets of Baltimore to interview a drug dealer.
Wow.
Because she didn't have childcare for those 2 weeks. I was like, yeah, my kids get to go to the air-conditioned library
and read Mad
Magazine from the staff snack machine.
Yes, yes.
They got it good.
It's a different kind of educational.
Yes. So that's where I've been. And
right,
I missed doing this, but I know that Susan McGuire, the other Susan.
Susan McGuire's been in, yes.
Has been in.
Outre Susan.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and looking forward to picking this, keeping this going again into the fall. But before we talk about what we're reading right now, a lot of stuff is happening at the library, and a little bit of stuff has happened at the library, too. We just had a Friends of the Library book sale.
We did.
Yeah.
And they actually shortened the hours a little bit, and they had a little bit less stuff. They've been culling out some of the crummy stuff.
Okay.
And just keeping it, like, sort of the better stuff. And they made $18,000 in 3 days.
Wow.
Right?
That's awesome. How does that compare to the usual? Is it about that?
Their record-setting sale was last year when they hadn't had a sale for a long time, and they made just over $20,000. So this was a big one, and they had fewer hours and a little bit less stuff.
Okay.
So, of course, almost all of that money, virtually all of it, comes back to the library for program services and collections. So
awesome.
We were pretty thrilled about that.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Very nice.
And actually, just today, there was a really nice article in the Daily Tar Heel about, I think the title was, having fun isn't hard when you've got a Chapel Hill Public Library card. This is actually National Library Card Sign Up Month.
Nice, right?
So they did a very nice piece about us. But we get bored easily, so we got lots more stuff coming.
Very cool. So let's talk about some of this stuff. I know there's there's an ACLU celebration event coming up soon.
Yes, we are thrilled. I think the press release went out yesterday or today. We are thrilled to have been selected as the Triangle location for the traveling exhibit celebrating 50 years of the ACLU in North Carolina. It's a 10-panel exhibit. It started at the Civil Rights Museum in Greensboro. It's been in Charlotte. I think it's right now in Wilmington area, and then it's coming here to the library. It will be installed next week, and there's going to be a whole slate of programs tied in with that. So it's great for us because, of course, the ACLU of North Carolina was formed around the challenges to the speaker ban, which has, you know, of course, great ties to UNC's history. So it's perfect that it's coming to us.
Absolutely. And when you say 10 panels, are we talking like 10 displays?
Yeah, they're freestanding. They're actually vinyl banners. That are in these holders are going to be right across from the main service desk. There's two sort of general panels, and then each of the remaining 8 panels focuses on a certain topic. So racial justice, LGBTQ, women's rights. And we hope to have a program for each panel. We're still working. We've got 3 or 4 nailed down. There is going to be an opening reception open to the public next Sunday evening after hours, Sunday the 13th. More details are going to be going out about that very soon.
Very cool. Any details you can divulge about the panels that are coming up? I know they're still in the process of being put together.
The programs?
Yeah.
Ones that we have confirmed for the LGBTQ panel, we're going to have the two mayors, Kleinschmidt and Lavelle, do a program. The format's still taking shape. They might interview each other. They might be interviewed by someone. We are working with UNC Press on the racial justice panel. Hopefully some of their authors with some forthcoming books on that one. And then one of the last programs, I forget the date, it'll be in November, Chief Blue and I think a lawyer from the civil rights, from the ACLU, are going to do a kind of a Know Your Rights kind of a program. So we're trying to have a mix of lectures, panels, practical kinds of things. And there's more to come.
I do love the fact that we live in a town where the chief of police is showing up as a panelist on the ACLU event. That's really,
Yeah. Yeah,
awesome.
So that's really going to be great. And the panels will be up next week, Tuesday or Wednesday. And then folks can enjoy them. We anticipate some field trip requests and all of that. It's going to be great.
Very nice. So that's one thing that's happening at the library. I know there's more.
Last week we did the judging. The jury came together for the banned books cards.
Yes.
We had 100 entries this year.
Awesome.
And they were really good.
How many are there?
Really
how many total
hard.
Are there going to be? There's only like
seven.
Seven. Yeah.
We had,
I think,
102 entries and two of those entries were town employees, so they were out of the judging.
Okay.
They'll be on exhibit. So it's really difficult. So that's coming up. Banned Books Week is always the last week of September. I don't have the dates at my fingertips. But we'll have a big party to launch the exhibit, meet the artists.
I've still got my trading cards from last year.
Yes.
I think I have two sets somehow.
That's great.
Yeah.
And then this year we also have a grant. We're working with the UNC program in the humanities and their civic education consortium, and we are developing with them, or well, they're developing it, a curriculum for middle and high school teachers to teach banned books and censorship and the freedom to read.
Awesome.
We're having a workshop for teachers next weekend, and then as part of the grant from the Freedom to Read Foundation, we are printing an extra 5,000 sets of cards.
Nice.
And making them freely available to classrooms in North Carolina that want sets.
That's awesome.
And actually, the intro to this, talking about a better image, they have printed the cards for us. This is their third year doing it. They do a great job. They give us a great rate. They're major in-kind supporters of the program. So we should have the proofs from them any day now.
Oh, that's good. They've got a new easy-to-find location at 4310
that's right, Garrett Road.
Did you know that? Yeah.
Right.
I just learned this recently, in fact.
Yes. and then I will also mention this coming weekend, we have three great kids author programs coming up. Not kid authors, but authors who write books
kids
primarily
authors,
for the youths.
Okay.
This week's going to be really great. It is an author named Don Tate, and it's a picture book about George Moses Horton, who was, of course, the African-American poet. There's a historical marker for him, I think, on campus.
Mm-hmm.
He was a slave, taught himself to read and write. We had a program about him last year with the Historical Society, but Don Tate, who's really wonderful, has done a picture book. So he's doing his book launch this Saturday at the library. I did pull that one up on my phone. The Sacrificial Poets are going to be there, and they're going to do a poetry piece. And that is at 11 o'clock Saturday, September 5th. That's Saturday, right?
Saturday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yes. 11 a.m. So
really quick.
His works are great, and it's going to be a really interesting program. Flyleaf's going to be there, the author, Sacrificial Poets, library folks. It's going to be fabulous.
Awesome. Well, that's a lot.
I know, right? I'm kind of tired just talking about
yeah.
it.
Right, yeah. I have to say, you came in yawning. You were blaming lunch. But it's,
I had a big lunch,
You had a big lunch, but there's a lot of stuff you're planning all at the same time.
Yes, the other thing I'll mention, people will start to see some construction going on in a couple weeks. We are, in the month of October, we're going to install what is called an AMH, an automated materials handler.
Ooh.
And it is a big honking machine that currently we circulate 1.3 million books. And when they come back in, human hands touch all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to automate a big piece of that project or of that process. It's going to be really cool to see. It's like a big conveyor belt, and then it sorts the books. So our staff won't have to do that, and they can be redeployed to like help people find good books.
That's cool. So right now I'm imagining that scene in, what is it, Toy Story 2, where they like wind up on the conveyor belt in the airport, and then they go through
it.
And it's this amazing room with like conveyor belts going all back and forth. That's what this is, right?
So this actually uses the technology from like luggage sorting and UPS and all of those things.
Seriously?
But but it applies it to library. So
nice.
It's going to be super cool.
Awesome.
But
so
we will have some construction, nothing that's going to be too invasive. But
is it going to be out and about where people can see it? Or
It's going to be in the circulation workroom, which you can currently see from the outside, and we're going to install a window so people can also see it a bit better. It's
going
to be really cool.
All right, awesome. Looking forward to that. And that's going to go up in October. Construction starts in October.
It's going to be it's
October?
A 3-week period, so it's going to it's all going to happen in about a 3-week turnaround.
Very nice. All right, so check out the Chapel Hill Public Library for all of those things and more. What's the website again? Is it chapelhillpubliclibrary.org?
You got it.
All right, awesome. So chapelhillpubliclibrary.org is the website, so you can go there if you didn't have your notebook out and you weren't writing all of those different events down. You can get the
Follow
full schedule there.
Follow us on the Facebook and the Twitter.
And the social medias and
That's
this
right.
and that. I was watching an episode of The West Wing, and I'm trying to get rid of, like, going through my year-long process of culling my books and my CDs and my DVDs down to a manageable level, and I'm going through four seasons of The West Wing that I have. I'm still watching season one, and last night I was watching an episode where Toby made a reference to Amazon.com, but he mispronounced it. It was like, go to Amazon.com, because it was 1999 and people didn't know how the internet worked yet.
Right?
Yeah, it was hilarious. Like, that's just sad. And they were talking about, and he was yelling at his staff because they didn't have a copy of the Constitution on hand. I was like, just Google it. Oh, that's right. It was 1999. Man, we've come a long way in 16 years.
Now we have robot book sorters.
Yeah, it's great, right? All right, so let's talk about books. All of those,
enough about work. Let's talk about books.
All of those things are going on at the Chapel Hill Public Library. They're all going to be really cool. So we don't really have a topic, just what are we reading
right
now?
What are we reading?
I have to say, you came in yawning. You're going to be yawning even more after I tell you, because I'm culling my book collection, so I'm getting through all of the books that I just want to read and get rid of. And I've read all of the books that you can knock out in a short period of time and put in the to get rid of stack and feel really good about yourself. I've gotten rid of all of those, and now I'm down to the ones that are obviously going to be projects. Like, this
you
is going
to
take me a couple
them.
Of weeks.
You know, you
I've,
don't
I've
have
already,
to.
I've already decided to just I've
it's
already
okay.
decided against a couple of them. There was a William Faulkner novel that I was like, no. Ever since I decided against Gravity's Rainbow, it's liberated me to reject other books as well, which is great.
So the world's most famous librarian, Nancy Pearl, who's a reviewer on NPR, and she's got the librarian action figure. She has a rule of 50, okay?
Okay.
If you're under 50, if you're 50 or under, give a book 50 pages. And if it's not working for you,
okay,
drop the mic, walk away.
Oh, well,
right?
That's good.
And if you're over 50, subtract your age from 100 and give a
give
book
that many.
So if you're 99 years old, that book gets one page. And if it's not working for you,
I like that.
Drop it.
That's really cool.
What's your boring book that you can't give up?
I've gave Dahlgren by Samuel Delaney like 100 and some odd pages before I decided against it.
Life's too short.
Life is too short. You're right. I am 20 chapters into, are you ready for this?
Do it.
Principles of Macroeconomics by Greg
Mankiw.
Because I don't know anything about economics.
Just Google it.
But I'm 20 chapters in, though. There's only 22 chapters in the whole book.
Oh,
I'll be done
if
by
you're 22 chapters. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But I'm taking this. Like, it's one of the subjects that I just never took a class in ever, and I've just felt so lost when it comes to knowing about money and the economy and all of this. And every time people talk about it or I read about it, it feels like 90% of it just goes over my head. So I'm like, I'm going to teach myself economics.
Are you going to read the Principles of Microeconomics after this?
I have a book called Principles of Microeconomics, and thank God the first six chapters are mostly a review from the book I'm reading right now, so I can just skip ahead to chapter 7 and be good.
It's beautiful how that works out.
Yeah, it's great. I'll be very happy when I'm done with both books, but it's you know, I feel good about myself that I've actually like
well,
sat down and it's like, oh, supply and demand curves, and every chapter is just variations on that. Good. That's awesome. It's complicated. It's hard. I'm getting to the later chapters in the book, and they're difficult. This is the intro textbook.
I'm just going to talk
this
about serial killers and Stephen
for
King.
My life. Okay.
That's what I'm going to do now.
Go for it.
So you and I have often, Stephen King often comes up in our book chats. And I think he's a great writer. But I came across, so these lists that come off, that come across the Facebook and the Twitter, 23 things to do this and 8 stories you won't believe.
Yes.
And this came across,
thank you,
BuzzFeed. It was actually on bustle.com, and it was 14 books that scared the heck out of Stephen King. He didn't curate the list per se, but these were all books that he's written about or blurbed, so they just pulled them together.
All right.
So I was like, ooh.
So there is actually a referent for it. Like, he has said these are
scary books. Yes,
okay,
yes.
Good.
So
I wouldn't put it past the BuzzFeed knockoff to just make up a list.
I was looking at the list, and I was like, I need something new to read, and I'm in the mood for something dark and twisty, and these look good. So
are you ever not in the mood for something dark and twisty?
Pretty much all the time.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
But I'm such a sunny personality, right?
That's true, yes. I think that's probably why.
I do like pretty dark stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was perusing the list, and this one sounded good, and I had heard good things about it. So I'm currently reading a book called You, Y-O-U.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The author is Caroline Kepnes, K-E-P-N-E-S. I generally, so it's not first-person narrators. I generally don't like first-person narrators, but I can't think of a book that I've come across that's second-person narration.
Laurie Moore writes some.
Yes.
I came across some of her stuff when I was in college. And
you're
right.
Yep. But the whole thing starts out with you come into the bookshop this day.
I kind of really like this because it's so unusual.
It's very strange.
Think.
And for a creepy, dark book, so the narrator of it, he's either a sociopath or a psychopath. It's kind of like micro and macroeconomics.
Right. I can't quite tell the difference.
I forget which is what, but he's crazy, and he encounters this woman. And so you hear what's about to happen to her from his point of view, but she's also not a great person either.
Right.
And I'm about halfway through it, and it has totally caught my imagination and attention.
Awesome.
And it's
okay.
very good.
So Kepnes is the author?
Kepnes, and it's called You. And I believe she's either done or is working on a follow-up or companion to it. But it's dark and twisty and kind of disturbing.
I like that. To redeem myself, I have to say that when I'm done with the macroeconomics textbook, I am one chapter into Middlesex by Jeffrey Eugenides.
Which is a great book.
And I'm already liking it. I put it down for now so I can finish the econ thing. And as soon as I'm done with that, Middlesex is next. So, and I'm one chapter into it, so I can say that I'm currently reading it.
There you go.
That's really good. Yep.
The other one that I wanted to mention was actually at the Friends book sale.
Mm-hmm.
Thing about Stephen King and horror. And Stephen King has written about this author, Shirley Jackson, who wrote The Haunting of Hill House.
And The Lottery.
The Lottery,
yes.
All of those.
Yep.
So many, many people know her for her dark and twisty side. But many people don't know how she got started. She was an essayist. And she wrote for a newspaper, I believe, in the Northeast somewhere. And at the Friends sale, I found a pristine copy a paperback of her. It's a collection of essays she wrote, and it's called Life Among the Savages. Mm-hmm. And it's all about her crazy domestic life. She had a bunch of kids. They lived in this ramshackle house, and she wrote really hilarious, very, very funny, and they all ring true essays about her experience as a mom. And it's just domestic chaos, and it's hilarious, and it's heartwarming. So she wrote dark and twisty stuff, but Life Among the Savages, if you haven't read it, and there's one, I forget the title of it. It's called it's basically the gist of it is, and it's her most famous essay. Her son comes home and he keeps talking about, this is kindergarten and, you know, how school was great, but little Timmy pulled a teacher's hair today. And then the next day, little Timmy, threw the ink across the room. Uh-huh. So every day there's a story about Timmy. And so Shirley Jackson goes to the parent-teacher conference. And the teacher's ready to talk to her, and she says, I'm here to talk about, Jimmy or Johnny, who's just great, I understand, but this little Timmy character, how do you put up with that? And the teacher, of course, says, we don't have a little Timmy in school, but
it's
you're
your
Johnny?
Child. Yes.
Which I think has been done in probably films and reused, but she wrote the original essay about it, and
that's
it's
great.
Fabulous.
That's
so
awesome.
There's something dark and twisty, You by Carolyn Kepnes, and something delightful from an author who can do dark and twisty, Life Among the Savages by Shirley Jackson.
All right, I like it. The ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org is the website if you want to find out about all of those events. Are you reading anything else right now? I'm occupied with econ, so I'm out of ideas.
I'm reading lots of stuff with my kids.
Okay, all right. I can't
lots
contribute
of
to that
lots of comic strips, lots of the collected Foxtrot, Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, the classics.
They recently discovered one called Pearls Before Swine, which is hilarious.
Which is great.
Probably slightly inappropriate, but
they
love it.
A little inappropriate,
It's really funny.
Oh no, I've got a couple of those books. My problem with Pearls Before Swine is I like the crocodiles so much that whenever the crocodiles are not in there, I'm like, this is pointless.
The crocodiles are great.
The crocodiles
and actually,
are the best.
That author, Stephen Patzis, we discovered him. He writes a kid's book series similar to the Wimpy Kid kind of thing called Timmy Failure, which is fabulous.
All right.
It's a boy detective and a sidekick who's a polar bear, and they're the world's worst detective. So we came to it rightly, and then my kids wanted to read everything by Stephen Patzis, and the crocodiles are a favorite.
Oh, yeah. So good. All right, Susan Brown, thank you so much.
See you next week.